us back. We back.
Look at that.
Oh, look at us. Good and Ghetto the Pod. Back on the mic. Back live. Back hot in the studio. Good and Ghetto the Pod. The Pod. I like the Pod. I don't know.
Yeah, I like the Pod. I don't like saying podcast.
So. Yeah, it's the Pod. We're urban. We're an urban podcast.
We're urban. What's going on, sis? How are you?
What's going on? I am good. Let me tell you, work. Yeah. Been getting their money's worth out of me. But it's cool. Work been kicking my ass. The weeks have been long, but grateful.
How you over here? I've been good. I'm doing a different kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all, you know, my creativeness out here doing what I love to do and really realizing that I am a creative. So I'm actually enjoying that. So,
hell yeah. Embrace that. Embrace the creativity.
Yes. Very yeah. Nice. I'm enjoying it.
I love that a lot. What you drinking today? What's in the cup?
Well, this week we changed it up a bit, and we're drinking mezcal.
Ooh, I love a messy mess.
What a lie.
I love a messy mess. It's short too. That's how you know that's that strong shit.
Yeah.
You know that ain't no
nice
juice.
This is strong. This is real heavy pour.
Every again, pour I'm drinking a
combo.
Again, I'm drinking a full glass of something filled to the rim because.
And what might that be, sis?
This is actually just kombucha. This is one of my little hippie drinks. This is a kombucha that we got from the farmer's market over here. And then they sold us on this other little like mixer that's like a syrup kind of that you add to create your own mixer.
Mm.
But it's like vinegar based. It's some real hippie farmer's market type shit, but it's good.
I mean you're definitely traveling down the road. I don't know if I really go down, but hey, I also had kombucha for the first time the other
day. And you love it.
And I will say, although I was very nervous, because you know all of them be drinking it, and so I tried it and I was like, oh, this is actually good. Definitely got that digestive system going.
So. I love the booch. So I've been drinking, people think I started drinking kombucha when I moved out to California, and they be trying to act like I switched up and turned into some different kind of, a different broad when I came to the West Coast. And that's not true because I started drinking kombucha in Iowa. Is that better? No.
No.
No. I was introduced to it by the, okay. Mm-hmm. I was definitely introduced to it by the Clear People, but I really enjoy it. I've liked kombucha for years, probably since about like 2017. I really, really like it. And I started drinking it before it was so easy to get. Like you had to go to like the one health food store across town and they have one brand with like three flavors and that was it. Now it's like popsicle flavor kombucha. It's like kombucha all over the place now. It's very different. Me being an OG boots girl.
That's how I feel about hard seltzer, which I would never drink. Not a fan of the hard seltzer because I mean, what are we doing? Are we drinking?
Give me the liquor.
And I remember when I lived in Dallas and they were introducing like hard seltzer for the first time. And I had it and I was like, now what exactly are we doing here?
What is this? See, I don't like that.
So I just feel like it's a cute way to get drunk. But also, I don't feel like drinking 18 drinks to get where I'm going.
Right now, I got to pee and all that. And then also, like, I don't like fizzy. I don't like a lot of fizzy shit, which is surprising that I like kombucha. But I don't like a lot of fizzy shit. And I also don't like stuff that's almost water. I either want water that don't taste like nothing. Yeah. I want some shit that tastes like something. Seltzer and sparkling water be all in the middle. It just, I don't want that. This shit is pissing me off.
They market to people who want to, they don't want to look as hard with like a real drink. So it's cool to like go on the boat with a nice little.
Get some lemonade. They market to people who ain't got no taste buds because that shit is nasty.
It's disgusting.
Them Trulies and them White Claws.
Everybody has it. Like White Claws, Truly, the Twisted Arizona. Wait.
And what are we doing? What are we doing about the cans? I mean, I don't know.
If y'all want to give us no straws, why y'all drinking out of cans?
If that's the earth is melting, why are we producing so many things in cans? I don't know. Somebody answer that for me. Somebody answer that for me.
Options.
I'm boycotting all seltzers and White Claws for the earth to save the turtles. So pretty much if you drink that shit, you're a murderer. And you're trying to kill us all. And that's because clearly where I
y'all
stand.
Because clearly y'all told us that we were murderers by giving us these paper straws that I refuse to drink out of.
I'm not drinking out of that. I would rather snort the drink through my fucking nostrils. Don't give me no paper, cardboard
and
ass.
And it melts
that shit
in my
off.
Drink. Like, what are y'all doing?
And now I feel like you're trying to poison me. Now I feel like you're my enemy.
You're definitely my enemy. Give me a paper straw.
That should be dissolved and turning into an arts and craft project all in the glass.
Paper mache in my drink, and I am not for it.
That pisses me off. Some places got a little like crafty done. Now they give you like the recycled straws that are all like rough and bumpy. Like you don't know what the material is. You just know it used to be something else. And it's like, I also don't love that, but it's better than the shit that's dissolving in the drink.
Yeah, but also like, and we're saving the who? The turtles?
Yeah, they can go to hell.
The turtles want to be saved?
I don't, maybe it's their time. My question is, who tried to save the dinosaurs?
I don't feel like my plastic straw is saving the turtles.
We all got, it's at some point, we all got to go. And the little turt's just going to have to understand.
But little tink, turt.
Listen, we are evolving to a place in time that you...
Listen, if you can't make it on the food chain, baby.
Listen, I don't know. You're snapping turtle. You better snap on. You better snap your ass out of that goddamn six-pack bottle holder that somebody got wrapped around your esophagus. Snap out of that.
Get up out of that thing. Get up out that jam, baby.
I hate to see them videos that'd be like, these like crazy videos where like a turtle miraculously escapes out of the jaws of a crocodile. So you can escape out the crocodile, but you can't get up out the straw got you. The straw is what's getting you. Go to hell. I don't know. Figure it out,
how
nature.
How y'all know? What research did y'all do?
Figure it out, nature. I'm not interested. But anyway, as we're going into this new episode, let's catch up a little bit since last we met. So the end of last episode, first of all, thank you to everybody. Everybody who listened, tuned in, and shared the trailer episode. Really just an episode of us getting to know each other. Y'all got to hear me screaming into the Bluetooth microphone on my headphones.
And me being nice and sexy.
Listen, this is Good and Ghetto. This is an at-home production. I'm on my couch right now. There's no team. This is the team.
It's me and my sis. That's it.
This is the team. So we're going to get it. We're going to refine and get better every episode. I got my mic out of storage. Shit's hard. I'll be busy.
Listen,
I don't know.
We are making progress.
But okay. I love y'all so much. Thank you to all the love. We really appreciate it. Stay on this journey with us again. We bi-weekly with it. So we're going to drop this week. We'll see y'all again. We have the next. We're going to keep this boat rolling. So when last we left y'all, there was a couple things me and my sister said we were going to be working on. For me personally, I said I was going to be in that gym 5 times. I didn't count, but I definitely went 5 times. Because I see 2 abs that I didn't previously see. Somebody tell me I'm wrong. I've been in that gym. I went to the gym 5 times. I go to the gym. So here's my current gym schedule. My current gym schedule is Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
Every week. We recorded like Tuesday before last.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the gym like twice, maybe 3 times. So I definitely went, I think I went like 5 or 6 times, which technically isn't right because I was supposed to go 8 times by now, but I said I was going to go 5. You know, we got to be realistic.
You went.
I went. And I be in there working. I be in there working. My gym, I ain't going to tell y'all because I don't want y'all, but just know I go to the gym with the girls. I be in the gym with the girls, okay?
Yes.
And the girls be strong. So it's like a whole bunch of bodybuilders in little bitty shorts and tank tops. And it's like they be lifting heavy weights, but like in between the sets, it's like they auditioning for a Madonna concert. So it's like,
really?
They like prancing around. It's giving, and then they're like, it's a paradox.
This is a lie.
It's an experience, but it's very nice because I don't have to worry about nobody really bothering me in the gym because I'd be in there looking like I'm unhoused. There's no matching sets. I probably was in this t-shirt. Socks and mix match. I don't
but
care.
Who
I'm
said
not,
we have to go and be matchy matchy. I'm not a gym. Get our bodies together.
I'm not going to the gym for that. I'm here to get big and get little at the same time. I'm trying to get this ass fat and this waist small. I only got 45 minutes before I'm got to be, my home running gonna be thrown off. I'm late for work. I don't know what I got on. I got dressed in the dark. It was 93 degrees in my apartment this morning. I was moving fast, trying to get out. I don't know what I got on. I got three locks hanging out. I don't know.
Listen, I'm just trying to get to the gym to meet my commitment.
Y'all lucky I'm here. I go to the gym at 5:30 in the morning. Y'all lucky. Ooh. I'm not in here cursing somebody to fuck up.
Sis, you good. You know, there was a day when I would go to the gym that early. I think now I'm in my era of child when I wake up. That's when I'm going to get to it. Because honestly, I can't do the 5 a.m.s anymore.
I know. I kind of like it. I kind of like being a morning person. But then my whole, by 10 p.m., my energy be on. Like, I got to get in that bed, which then makes me feel kind of lame because then I'm like, I'm young, so you think I got more in me? I don't. I don't got it in me. I be sleeping.
You know, I realized, so I did not do my workout every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But I did go outside a couple of times and I'm back running.
Okay.
So I'm grateful for that. So what I've done, every time I have to restart and start running again, I do the walk a block, run a block, walk a block, run a block.
Okay.
That for me helps me to get back on track.
That's a good program. I support that.
Sometimes I walk more blocks than I run, but the point is I'm out there for at least 30 minutes.
I ain't running for shit. I don't run at all. Even when I get on the treadmill, I'm walking. Inclined, though. Inclined, because that's how you get that ass
incline,
tight.
Yeah,
that's how you get that ass tight. And that's, again, big ass, little waist, okay? I go to the gym, I do glutes and back exclusively. I'm not working on triceps. Then triceps can go to hell. I'm here for 2 weeks.
All I do is the ass and the stomach, because I want to get my stomach down. I don't know.
Which is why you've been juicing.
No, I have not.
Goddamn. Okay. I tried to. Listen, to accountability.
Here's to the accountability. Clearly, I need to write a post-it note. Bitch, drink your juice. Here's the thing. I have not been juicing, but I have been doing smoothies.
Okay, that's good.
I feel like that replaces the big breakfast that I want to have because I am a breakfast nut.
I ate breakfast for lunch today. I love breakfast.
Listen, there's a place that me and my husband go to, and I ask them for the breakfast tacos with a side of French toast.
Damn, that sounds fire. I ain't even gonna lie to you. I love breakfast. And the thing about me and breakfast, I need hot food.
Yeah.
I can't wake up and get no acai bowl. I don't want no goddamn acai bowl.
No.
I want a goddamn berries. And so I'm trying to do better right now on this wellness journey. I typically eat pretty good. Like, I've been, like, fake on and off again, plant-based for the last few years. Like, I typically eat good. I love vegetables, so I have no problem eating vegetables. What I realized in this recent year is that I don't eat a lot of fruits, which have, like, good dietary fibers. Yeah. And if you eat too many vegetables, then it's, like, too much of the, and then blocks you up because apparently too much kale. Like, whatever. Go to hell. Everybody kiss my ass. So I've been trying to, whatever. We're going to get to that. But so I've been trying to eat more fruit. So surprisingly, I actually took your goal. I've been juicing this past week because we have a juicer and we made watermelon kiwi juice, strawberry kiwi juice.
It's really refreshing.
It's really refreshing. But here's the hang up. Cleaning the fucking juicer.
Listen.
Cleaning the fucking, it'd be juice and fruit pulp
everywhere.
And fiber. In every nook and cranny.
But that's what that was gonna be my next question. Like, what type of juicer do you have?
Because
the juicer that we have, it's a whole lot of parts, right? I wasn't thinking when I put it on our registry. I should have got the one that I see on TikTok, and it's just like one simple thing. You put all the juice in there, it grinds it up or whatever, and then you just open the lid.
Yeah.
But the one that I got, I just be like,
but see, they all do that. And when you look at them, they all like you dump it in one end, come out juice, the other end, come out the bullshit. But then what they don't advertise is that once all the fun is done, you got to take all of that apart And that's what blows me about it.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you got to cut up. It's just a laborious act. The juice is good, though. The juice is great. So I actually have been juicing. And what I found was that papaya juice.
Really?
Let me tell you about a papaya juice. Ooh. You drink that papaya juice first thing in the morning on an empty stomach, it's coming out of you.
Really?
It's coming out of you.
Oh, I'm going to have to try that. But see, here's the thing. I feel like...
Try it at your own risk. Try it at your own risk now. I'm not a doctor, but what I'm going to tell you is whatever you're trying to get about you, going to come about you.
How we need to get about you. But see, my thing is like... Is there anybody that actually has the papaya juice already? Because I really don't want to do all of
it. It's not the same, G. It's not the same.
I know.
I feel like you gotta... You gotta get in there and do it yourself.
I know, because you gotta batch it so much sugar. I don't understand adding so much sugar to stuff.
But Trader Joe's is what the fuck, jarred juices or whatever.
Yeah,
they have like the organic ones. But, you know, Trader Joe's be wanting like $7 for. You know, it's all up in what you, whatever you went to, whatever.
Speaking of, I know that this is not on our list to talk about, but I just want to find whoever's in charge of the grocery store chains and price pointing. Because I'm going to tell you right now, 2020 was a time to go grocery shopping, okay? I don't know how 3 years, 4 years, however many years we are after 2020, that 10 items are $88 in Whole Foods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all have lost y'all rabbit ass mind.
Yeah, Whole Foods ain't seen me since about 2019. Sometimes you got to separate yourself, the children, from the goddamn big dogs. Whole Foods but is a big dog like, store.
I don't want to go and get stuff that I eat that's not good for me.
I be fucking Trader Joe's up. I ain't going to lie to you. It's but bougie. Trader Joe's,
you still got to read what it is.
I'm telling you, this is crazy because it's literally going into my ghetto. But I'd be in the grocery store for 2 hours reading the fucking back panel of everything. I'd be like, what is
you
the
have to.
Exclamatic gum. Why the fuck that got to be in there? Pissed Xanax. Off. Like,
Xanax gum. Like, why is this in there?
Why is that in there? And what TikTok video did I watch that I just learned that this is bad? Because I've probably been eating shit for 20 years. I'm pissed off now. I'm pissed off.
But
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole because that's literally
all right, we're coming back. On. Okay.
We're spinning back to that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to be each other's accountability partners when it comes to our Until Next Times.
Yeah, I think that I should have more attainable goals. So I'll think about that.
I still believe in you and your juicer. It sounds like it's kind of fancy.
This juice is as good as it's going to get.
I still believe in you. Okay, what else? What else has been up before we get into the motherfucking goings-ons?
Let's see what else. Oh, this I won't go too far into this, but I'm just gonna say this. This will probably be another episode that we could probably do, but once you have embraced peace in your life, the chaos of others,
go to hell
up with it. That's all.
I be trying to tell myself I'm gonna stop telling people to go to hell, but
that's
realistically,
the best comeback. Go to hell.
Realistically, I'm not. Also, speaking of. Damn, that's not true. That was a terrible segue. Not hell, but quite the opposite. Rest in heaven to Jasmine Sullivan's mom. We were just talking about sis in the last episode.
We were talking about our good sis. And, you know, grief is hard.
Her mom, a soldier, though. She's been battling with, I believe it's breast cancer.
Yeah.
For, like, the past few years. So, I hope sis all right. And y'all better not be up under her motherfucking Instagram talking about where's the next album. What the fuck she gonna sing about?
Let her be.
What the fuck is she about to sing about?
Let her be. She gave us a good 2 sets.
You know how niggas be on the internet, but like, oh my God, Jasmine, I'm so sorry.
When's the next album?
Are you still going to be at the Who the Fuck What festival? Go to hell. Get up off her page and send her some money to the Cash App.
Send her some flowers, okay?
Send her a motherfucking edible arrangement or something and get out her goddamn inbox.
Lord.
Yeah. Rest in heaven to that. Look at us knowing something. And we also... So we got to talk about it. We can't be a Negro podcast on any kind of routine syndication and not talk about what just occurred on the 5th of August.
I've been waiting. 5th Let me tell you something.
Of August.
I like to call it the Bama Brawl. Okay. Listen, the bra was fought and won. Yo. I have so many points about this bra, but I'm going to let you start, sis.
I'm going to just say my favorite part about it is the word riverboat. It's just something about hearing Alabama riverboat bra that just makes me feel like I'm really happy that niggas was a part of that. I don't know. The fact, because you usually don't have a positive connotation of niggas in water. No, niggas, no. We don't do a lot of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. we be drowning, we be getting, you know, the ships, slavery. And they, we just, them niggas beat the brakes off them people. And they say it's like the same dock where the ships came to drop the ancestral niggas off.
Listen. So here's the good part of me coming out, because my good sis be too busy, so I had to do some work, okay?
Thank you.
So, y'all know I like being on these TikTok streets. And while I was on the TikTok streets, they definitely had a lot to talk about, okay? Everybody had some feedback. But here were the key takeaways. We're definitely going to get into this bra.
Educate us.
The key takeaways is that the gentleman who threw his hat was not security. He was the co-captain.
Oh, the co-captain of the theory.
Okay.
They told me that man was securing the dock.
No. He was the co-captain. Also, they stated, this was in the press conference, that 40 to 45 minutes, that boat and the other boat were waiting to dock. But these privileged white folks believe that they didn't need to move their pontoon.
First of all, it looked like they had been out there too long anyway, because y'all sunburned and y'all here looking like motherfucking sticks of licorice. Get the hell off the damn dock.
Also, the day prior to the brawl, Trump had his rally.
Ah, so these niggas, they not even niggas. Correction. Yes. These clip folks was they was impassioned. They had a little liquid courage.
On the TikTok streets, there was a user that stated that not only was there a Trump rally there before, but there was a group of black women who actually did a ceremony, and they put flowers in the water to honor the ancestors.
Oh, because that's the kind of shit we be doing in Wakanda. Uh-huh. That's how they begin. Here's the thing that I, listen, them people, they did not know what they thought. They was somebody rolling five deep on the family boat. It's my family's boat.
But it was a pontoon.
They're my family's speed boat. We won't move. Fuck your ferry. Nigga, do you not realize every nigga within a 6-block radius literally came to the dock to beat y'all ass? Don't none of these niggas even know each other.
It was one call. One man threw that call.
And they said, niggas unite. I saw somebody hop a fence. Shorty who jumped off the boat. Here's the most remarkable part about Shorty who jumped off the boat. Outside of the sheer athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
This man swim in cargo pants. Do you know what cargo pants do? They hold shit. Like
heavy.
He is sinking himself. He has swim from ferry to dock. He has muscled himself. Have you ever had to lift? He has muscled himself up onto the dock and immediately starts swinging. The best part about bro, though, my guy was on the clock. He was a ferry crew member. My man is definitely fired. He did not care. He was a ferry crew member. That is the high, to me, that is the highlight. He said, fuck this job. I'm about to go. When will I ever get the opportunity to throw some white motherfuckers in the water?
I think the whole thing from start to finish was just
cinematic goal.
It was just beautiful. Because the minute those people jumped on that man, there was a young man that ran down
the ramp
and started throwing bows.
And he originally, you could tell the man ran down the ramp. And he was like, I ain't even trying to get in the middle of it. You know what I'm saying? He was really just trying to. And then Billy Bob and Sarah Joe was really trying to throw some licks off. Like, he pulling them apart. And they started coming back in. Now I got a motherfucking knee to the throat.
The other part, too, was there's a snippet to where the guys are skipping towards the pontoon. ready to knock these people out.
Nobody has a shirt on. This is how you know niggas is serious. Nobody has a shirt on. We pulled our pants up by the belt loops 3 times and you do the nigga skip. We pull up nigga skip. Pull up nigga skip. Those white people never knew what that, like, they never knew what was coming. At one point, one of the motherfucking white men just jumped in the water. He said, actually, we're losing back.
He was like, we're losing. But also, two points. They didn't know that once you run up, you can't, like, retract and be like, oh, no, I don't want to fight.
Get done up. You run up, and it is immediately followed by the done up. Which proceeds the fuck around right next to the find out. What absolutely. The fuck is going on? You're in absolutely. Alabama.
What I love is the ad-libs and the commentary of the people that are recording, because there's a girl, or a woman, who is saying, like, oh, yeah. And this is what got me. She says, bink, bink, bink.
I was binking and bopping with her at the same time. Soon as... Hey, the glorious chair bop to the head of the female. Not even when he was crank, the chair with the niggas. It was the head bop to the female. I was right on cue with her. She said, bop, bop. I'm watching the video. First of all, where did the chair come from?
Listen,
where did the chair come from?
With the chair. I don't even know where you found it from. But
that was the security chair.
It was just so beautiful to watch. And I know.
Did you see the view? Did you see the angle of somebody on the boat? On the boat that was already docked, and they got the inside boat view.
Yes.
A shorty getting by the nail.
It's crazy because I think that people the bigger issue here is that a lot of feel like they can say and do whatever they want to do.
And them motherfuckers.
And they found out what black solidarity means.
They say, you park your motherfucking bear in anyway. What's wrong with her? I got right there. Why don't you move your boat? I gotta move her boat. It's free country.
Because you are in the way.
You never think you could just tell us.
Yeah.
You're in the way of two other boats. At one point, somebody just grabbing the gate. Now we about to fuck your boat up. This is crazy. And it was no weapons. It's all hands. It was all, okay, except for the chair. But hey, but somebody said, Unk for sure going to jail with the chair. but he didn't get locked up, right?
Didn't get locked up.
Yeah.
All of the white participants all have warrants out.
Yeah. It pre-existing or warrants due to the brawl?
I think it's due to the brawl.
I'm trying to go to court. I'm trying to testify like I was there. Yes, I saw it. Yes, that was him. He hit him first. He called him a nigger. Hard R. He called him a nigger. He said his mother is a whore. That, Your Honor, under oath, I would not lie.
Like, ma'am, where were you? Your video.
Motherfucker, at the dock.
Right.
I was on the ferry. Ain't nobody talked to nobody. The people on the ferry, I wanted to be on the ferry because, first of all, the ferry looked lit. Wherever that ferry was going from or coming to, it was nothing but our community on that ferry. So, the people on the ferry was lit because they watching from all the way across the way, and they beat his ass. Beat his ass. Get him.
They started singing like, move, bitch, get out the way.
Yeah.
I was like,
I would have been on the ferry at the DJ booth, like, beat his ass. I'm trying. Yeah, I would have definitely been on the ferry.
That definitely couldn't happen in Chicago.
That wouldn't have been Chicago. It would have been a very different outcome.
It would have been terrible.
It would have been a very different outcome. But, you know, God bless those people. Anybody who making shirts, I would love to have one. They made shirts immediately. I've seen all type of artwork. Picasso, folding chairs. The stock just went up in Folding Chair Incorporated.
I saw a rhinestone studded chair, like a plain, I seen that before, it's a little pre-existing.
But then they start rolling that around. Then I see people put it on t-shirts. I've seen people painting the seats of folding chairs. Walmart then took all the folding chairs out the motherfucking back and all the folding chairs out the inventory and put them on the end caps So now every Walmart you're going into, it's a watermelon and a folding chair in the goddamn aisle.
First Listen, I'm about to go get Walmart. Me a folding chair, babes.
I'm about to go get a folding chair.
My daddy got some folding chairs.
And I'm taking it everywhere I go. Somebody said I'm putting a folding chair in my trunk right now. Everywhere like I go, I'm going to pop the trunk. Now when I pop the trunk, you know what the fuck I'm swinging.
Yeah. A folding chair, babes.
I support it. That was a glorious day. Somebody said we should celebrate August 5th every year like Juneteenth, and I'm down.
I am with it.
I'm down.
We should run the video back so they remember. Never
forget. Very good. Shout out. This is the one time why I appreciate social media. Social media felt like the old days.
Yes.
Like Twitter felt like the old days.
Yes.
It was great.
It was beautiful. It was
that
wonderful.
Was glorious.
After I get off of here tonight, I'm going back on TikTok to see what the updates are.
Just to see what y'all been talking about. And I hope ain't none of our people get locked up. And if so, free that man. Put something on his books.
Free that man.
On his books. Uncle Reggie with the chair.
Okay.
Fuck with him. Ooh. I fuck with him. Heavy. Hey, okay, that's cool. Shout out to me for knowing two things that currently happened within the last 30 days in this
very
world.
Proud of you.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't know nothing about nothing else. Fuck Tory, he did it. I don't know. That's all I got on that. The man should have been shooting that girl like that.
Yeah, 10 years.
God bless him. Hopefully hopefully they got some job openings at the library or the wood shop.
Should have thought of that before you started.
That's all I gotta say on that. Okay, we got some shit to talk about today.
We do.
We got some shit to talk about. So I don't know what this part of the podcast is gonna be called. I didn't come up with a name. This is just the topic. It's the shit we gotta get off our chest.
It's the good ghetto topic.
This the topic of the day. That's probably gonna change by next episode. Get off my back, people. But today, sis, we wanted to talk about loyalty. Loyalty. By your boy Kendrick.
I can't stand up.
Sorry.
Leave Kendrick alone.
Can't stand up. That laugh was loud as hell. Talking about loyalty, so I wanted to talk about this because I think in this past like year or so of my life, loyalty has kind of like come up in different ways.
Yeah.
And me personally, I'll talk about me personally.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about it in whatever degree you want to talk about it. I want to talk about loyalty because I just wanted a reason to talk about why I quit my job. I'm gonna be honest. I just wanted a reason to talk about why I quit my job.
Yeah. I think we're in the same boat with that one.
This year. For those of y'all who know me and been around me, y'all know that I worked for a certain establishment for the past 5 years. We're going to call it the toy store.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at a fucking toy store.
A toy store.
Quite literally a fucking toy store. Which was great and afforded me great opportunities. I met some wonderful, kind people. However, this year I got to the point where it was like, why the fuck y'all taking y'all job so seriously up in here? We sell tampons. And
that's the part though. That's
and hot whips. It was just like, I love my job. I love what I did, right? But the degree of, I worked in HR. Mm-hmm. So I worked in HR and they wanted so much of my like personhood, my personality, like so much of my like energy as a person. Like I couldn't just like go there, do my job and go home. Like I had to be there and support people, show up for people. I was like a in-house motherfucking therapist. People talking about problems that I can't relate to. You know, Miss Sandra coming here talking about her kids ain't got no bus money. Ma'am.
None of my business.
I ain't got no kids. I ain't run no bus. You know, not that I can't, you know what I mean, empathize.
Yeah.
But it was just, it no longer worked for me. I had a boss who had me fucked up, ultimately. And it was one of those things where it's like, baby, we the same age. We was in very similar spots in our life. And I respect your authority because I don't want your job.
Right.
Cool. But can you just let me do mine?
And stay out my way?
I don't want your job, but can you just let me do mine? Because if you want to do my job, cool. But can I go home then? I'm not about to. What the fuck am I here for? You know what I'm saying? We post-pandemic. I'm still going in the office, sitting in four walls for 10 hours. They were on that bitch for 10 hours a day. I was not doing that. I worked 8. I'm not doing 10 hours. I don't care what the contract says. And so eventually I got to the point where I'm like, this is no longer serving me. And I'm the type of person who I like to do a good job at whatever I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the job was no longer serving me. Therefore, I didn't feel like I was performing to my standard. They thought I was doing great because I was in there lying. I was lying. pretending. I was lying and carrying on. They're like, you're doing great. What are you talking about? I'm like, I fucking hate it here. I don't like any of these people. You know what I mean? Like, fuck y'all. Fuck y'all, to be honest. I didn't like it. It was upsetting me because I used to like the job. I stayed with the job so long because I liked it. I respect the company. I still respect the company. It is a great company to work for. If you know where I used to work, I'm not going against it. If you work there, are you looking to work there? It's a great place to work. I was my first big girl job right out of college. Like, it was cool. I learned a lot. But it gets to the point where it's like, y'all are taking more from me than I'm being replenished. Mm-hmm. And the check wasn't checking like it needed to be checked.
Hello.
We have inflated and the wage was still very deflated.
Right.
So I quit that hoe. I quit that hoe in a very dramatic fashion. I left on a leave of absence and never returned.
I mean, what better way to leave than that way?
And the reason why I want to bring that up in connection to loyalty is because I really battled. I really battled with, like, this company. Like, I met my first iteration when I first got hired. I was working in a different state, working for a different boss, and I loved my boss. The best boss I ever had. I think it's the best boss I ever had. He was just a great leader, a great mentor. Loved working for him. And he, like, had me, like, really believing in the company. You know what I mean? I really believed in, like, I was loyal to the company, loyal to the brand, because it afforded me great options. You know, I had a good salary paying job right out of college, something that a lot of my peers couldn't say, because the American dream is a motherfucking lie. The degree doesn't get you shit.
Not a damn thing, okay?
So I was grateful as hell. I'm like, I got a salary, blah, blah, blah. I worked that job. I was able to transfer to California. And it gave me everything that I needed as far as employment and opportunity goes to create the life that I wanted for myself. So I was very grateful, to the point where I felt indebted to the company.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got to the point where not even the company, but the role and the environment that I was working in was no longer serving me. And it was actually detrimental to me and to my mental health. And I just, like, it was just draining me more than anything. It was draining me. And I felt that way for months before I got to the point where I literally was like, I can't be in here no more, because I'm about to act out of character.
Right.
Y'all actually low key got me bent back like a paperclip. Yeah. And I struggled with that for so long because of this idea of loyalty, being loyal to the company. You know, when you don't come from shit, you know what I mean? When you come from the mud, you like, man, I can't.
You gotta be loyal.
Who knows if this opportunity will come around again? Like, I can't just go out and risk bridge. It all.
Yeah.
So, like, that idea of loyalty to something that gave me an opportunity, as if I wasn't going into work every motherfucking day working for the paycheck. Like, I really be delusional sometimes, because I'm being loyal to the company like they was giving me some money for fucking free.
No,
I was working like a goddamn Hebrew slave. The fuck am I talking about? Anyway,
doing what you're supposed to be doing.
A great employee. What an outstanding worker bee. Actually,
worker bee.
I deserved more. I'm about to call them people right now and tell them to release my 401k.
Now,
because I know y'all still got wrapped up in that bullshit. but yeah, it was like that idea of being loyal to something that you feel like you're indebted to because it afforded you something. I really had to let go of that. And I was telling my baby, my man, we was talking about it. He's like, girl, fuck that job. And I was like, no, I can't. I was like, but should I tell them? I'm like, should I, what's the, like, best way to do it? Listen. And should I, like, call them? And should I, like, write a letter? I was, like, going through it. And then I got another job, and I was like, there's no way I can ever go back to that place. I was like, and so then I just quit. I literally told them the day that I was supposed to come back, I was like, I'm never coming back. Can y'all put my shit in a box? Like, I'm pick it up.
Clear. Did you ever go pick it up? Last
check. Yeah, I want to go pick it up just to see my boss and, you know. Like, hey, I know you've had this box packed since the day I left, bitch.
Raggedy bitch.
She's like, no, it wasn't until we talked. You're a motherfucking lie.
You're lying. Glad I was gone.
Because I already got the inside scoop that you was already rearranging my office.
I see.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you go ahead.
Yeah. So that was the thing, like, loyalty. And then when it comes to, like, just loyalty and other aspects, friendships, like, what it means to be loyal to yourself, you know, keeping commitments to yourself. I just think it's interesting as you get older, you have to like stop and redefine some of those things for yourself. Like you have to redefine what loyalty looks like and feels like for you in the current season that you're in.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, the biggest lesson I learned through it was like, Shorty, you can't be more loyal to things than they are to you. Because, baby, the replacement was already on standby for the gig, for the job.
Listen.
It was already there.
You're saying so much, right? And there are so many thoughts like going through my mind about what you're saying about loyalty. Because loyalty feels and looks different in different moments of your life.
Mm.
When I was 20, in my 20s, I was loyal. I mean, I never wanted to look bad. I never wanted people to think that I wasn't a good worker. So I would go above and beyond. But I think some of that is interwoven into being a Black woman. And some of our already things that we think about ourselves and how we show up and, you know, how we our lived experience. So you have that aspect. And then you have this aspect of like working and being tied to these jobs, which is the capitalism. And then you're trying to pull yourself away from that and you're trying to find your way. And then when you turn 30, like I remember turning 30 and I was just like, oh my gosh, like my world is going crazy. And so then I started like getting into the nonprofit. And then I was so loyal to that because I did not do the work of undoing this sense of loyalty to people, places, and things the same way I should have had it towards myself. And then when I turned 35, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing with my life? And now that I'm 40, it's like, listen, I'm a young 40. I can't do everything, but I can do some stuff. Because I'm definitely going to be in the bed by 10:30.
Don't get it twisted
because I will go.
Don't get her twisted.
But I think that this idea of being loyal to a job or a group of people, right? Because while you're dealing with that job, I was having my own kind of feat of dealing with loyalty of a Black-owned business and saying, I want to stay loyal because they gave me an opportunity and, you know, what if it was me? And, you know, I think about that. And then, you know, growing up as a Christian and then you're like, you know, I don't want to do people wrong. And it's so many layers to it. But the reality is that if you are not loyal to yourself, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like you're sacrificing have to be loyal yourself. To yourself.
You're sacrificing yourself. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. You're sacrificing yourself for the sake of saying like, I'm a good team player.
But, and fuck that. Who gives a rat's ass?
I'm the team player for me. Your point of like feeling like, you know, you were sacrificing your mental. And I think here's the thing about the mental health conversation. It is very real. It is very much a real thing. But I also think a lot of people play it up to where it's like, I just can't do anything because of my mental health. Like, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is
because that happened.
Yeah.
I worked in HR. Y'all niggas was lying. I don't think I didn't know.
Lie so quick, like, oh, my mental health.
Ain't no more FMLA. Shorty, you used all the goddamn FMLA. Don't come in here. Talking about anxiety.
And now all of a sudden you're anxiety, but you are on a trip and partying and... But
Costa motherfucking Rica. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I get triggered.
But the point is very true. Like we stay loyal. And then based off of your personality, you stay loyal to someone, family members, friends. And I was just telling the husband that, you know, I decided to choose myself, my family, since I got engaged from December to now. And I've been intentional about that.
That part. And
so now when I talk to people who still live in chaos, it's wild to me.
Now, what would you say is the thing or one of the things that you are most loyal to in your life outside of yourself? Or maybe like before you started choosing yourself first and being it more intentional, what is something that you think you have been most loyal to, if not too loyal to, in your life, like in adulthood?
Okay, so it's twofold. So prior to me acknowledging like, yo, you need to take a step back, I was very loyal to the perception of other people about me. Okay. Prior to the realization of what I was being loyal to, I was more loyal to people's perspective of me or what they thought about me. So I would work very, very hard to make sure that that perception and perspective about me was something that
you were living up to.
Yeah, that I was living up to.
Yeah.
Now that I'm on the other side of that, I am more loyal to myself, to my intentions, and what I want to create. So it looks very selfish. It looks like I'm being super selfish.
Yeah.
To me, right? Like,
yeah.
To me, that sounds selfish because I grew up in an environment that it's like, you know, you be about everybody and you love everybody and you put yourself on the back burner. But I am intentionally being loyal to me.
I'm being
loyal to the family that I am creating, and I'm being loyal and intentional to my creative being and what brings me joy. And I'm also being loyal to resting my body.
Loyal to me. That's going to be the name of the episode. Loyal to me.
I got to be loyal to me. And I know that, you know, a lot of people are talking about that. You hear this conversation that has really changed over the last couple of years. Because I think a lot of people have lived in spaces where we're always putting other people before ourselves.
That.
Like, I'm working really, really hard. I got to work hard so that my family knows that I love them.
Yeah.
If I never do another thing for you and I never show up for another birthday, you should just know that I love you.
That I love you. Because what it becomes is performative.
Exactly.
Now I'm doing things just to make sure, just to make sure you approve of me and I'm not being genuine. I think honestly for me, what I have been most loyal to, I have been most loyal to work. Mm. I have been most loyal to securing a bag, going to work. And I realized this, I look back at like my life to the point, like I'm 29 now, I beat y'all ass. I'm 29 now. Sorry. Cause that sound old, but I'm not. I'm young
and I will
whippersnapper, and I will whip. But I look back on my life and I look back at my 20s and even my teenage years. I've had a job since I was 15 years old. I've literally had a job. I'm talking about check stubs.
Yeah.
Since I was 15 years old. Shout out to Magic. Shout out to TWO. We love
a good TWO.
We love it. But I've been working, and it's because, quite honestly, I'm terrified of being broke. So my scarcity mindset is really what I've been most loyal to, because I'm like, there are things that I want to do. There are things that I want to achieve, creative goals, passion, you know what I mean? Dreams, big dreams that I have that I have not taken a leap of faith on because I'm too loyal to an employer, because again, I feel like I owe them because they pay my bills and I'm so, you know, that's the most important thing to me is being able to sustain myself. It's trying to like dig myself out of survival mode. And so I've gone above and beyond for jobs where the rest of the motherfuckers on my team is giving bare minimum.
Let me tell you something. Let me just interject right here. This is what I learned to unlearn. When I was working in corporate America, I used to work my ass off.
Man.
I would get to work. If I had to be there at 8, I would get there at 6:15.
Can't relate.
Wow.
I was with you and then you lost me.
I would come in super early and I would like hustle and I would work and I would work. And part of that was from my upbringing. So like my grandfather taught my dad, you get to work early, you start early, you go above and beyond because then you'll be chosen and you'll be seen and blah, 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 blah. But the more I start doing that, the more I realize that these niggas are doing the bare minimum.
She mean white people. I say it. Yeah.
They come to work at 9:15. They drop their things off. They go get coffee. They go downstairs to get coffee.
Yeah.
They come back up. They walk around the office. They do a lap around. They have a meeting or two. And then they're planning their lunch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
By lunchtime, they are figuring out where they're going by 12, 12:15, 12:30. They're out. They're out for like an hour, hour and a half.
Absolutely.
They're at their desk responding to emails, fake working, acting like they're super busy. Then they get up, they go get their coffee, get another round of coffee.
After coffee, that's the afternoon coffee.
After coffee, it's the afternoon coffee.
Yes.
Then by 4 o'clock, you better believe they are at that bar.
And knocking back a drink. That car. Yes.
And by 5:30, they're on their way to happy hour. And what I realize is that my black ass was working so hard to go above and beyond the average white man who literally does nothing.
Now, here's what I'll tell you about me. One thing about Jammo, I like to call myself a little bit of a chameleon. I'm on what y'all on. Y'all here at 9:15, I'm here at 9:22. And I'm going to get the coffee. I'm coming in with breakfast with a potato and egg scramble, and I'm still about to have coffee with y'all. Yes, I'm on what I'm keeping the exact same motherfucking energy. Just
but see,
one
I didn't know how to keep that energy until later.
I learned that. So at the last gig that I said, fuck you two, I was on exactly that. I was like, oh, ain't none of y'all doing shit? Ain't nobody doing shit? I'm right here about to be doing that shit with you. And my boss would be like, hey, what happened? Why don't we get this done? I said, because we was down at Mendocino Farms. We had lunch for 2 hours. And it's 5 o'clock now. It's the time I leave. So that's going to have to wait till tomorrow. Maybe you should cut lunch short. The fuck is you talking about?
But there was an expectation that we are supposed to work harder than them.
I expect y'all to go to hell. Yeah, I let that go. I did. So it was like, that's the thing though. It was like, I get so loyal to the cultures of the place that I work, right? So it's like, it's cool. If we ain't doing shit, we ain't doing shit. But also, like, I don't even like none of y'all, but I'm going to go to happy hour anyway because that's what y'all doing. I don't want to go to happy hour. Mm-hmm. So I had to, like, bring myself out of that. But one thing about me, one, you know who my mother is. I ain't got no daddy. Maybe you said your daddy taught you how to be on time for shit. That's probably my problem because I don't got a daddy. And so I never learned that because that's a fatherhood. It's a fatherhood lesson. God damn it. So I don't know how to do that. My mama, she will be there tomorrow. She will be there tomorrow. If the thing is today, my mother will be there tomorrow.
Being like, what happened?
With a confetti popper pissing me off. I'm going to get to work late. And I'm going to come in there with a Starbucks coffee. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go get my coffee. Why? Because it's not that serious. And that's what really used to piss my last job off. I used to tell them, y'all take your job way too serious. Y'all act like we're curing COVID up in here. We sell tampons. Why the fuck are we sitting in an executive meeting for 2 hours? We sell bananas.
Bananas and honey pot. Like, what are you doing?
Let me out of here, bro. We sell Flamin' Hots. Get me out of here. What are we talking about for so long? Talking about y'all want me, it's 5 o'clock, you're already leaving? Yes, I should have been going at 4:30. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the kind of stuff where it was
but
like,
but how did you get to that point though? Like, how did you get to the point of being loyal to work and separating from that scarcity? Or have you separated from that scarcity mindset?
I have not 100% separated from scarcity mindset because I'm still very terrified of being broke. It ain't in me no more. I feel like when I'm really spitting that shit, I gotta look at the mic. I think what happened was, so y'all know, I don't know. Am I supposed to say this? I don't know. If anybody who follows me, so y'all know I'm a part-time warrior.
Okay. Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, but when I was gone overseas in 2021, when I was gone for that year, that was serious shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was eye-opening. Because then I came back and went back to my civilian job, mm-hmm. and I was less stressed at the serious shit, bombs over Baghdad. I was less stressed than I was at the toy store. I said, oh, y'all got me fucked up.
Yeah.
It was like eye-opening because our culture, our work culture in America is that everybody has to, you know, take everything so seriously and we gotta, when, and in reality, we had the luxury of working somewhere where we should be able to have a little bit more fun, let our hair down a little bit. But y'all want to run this motherfucker like Google. All right, what I'm Googling is Indeed, and then find me a job. That's what I'm Googling, because y'all pissing me off in here.
You know the other thing that helped me too, now that you say that, like you went away and you came back. When we went on our honeymoon, we went to London and Paris, and honestly, that thing changed my life.
I love London and Paris. It was
so, like, I have never had a sense of complete rest, right? So yeah. My husband is very much like, I'm taking a nap. Mm-hmm. I had to learn that.
I like
that. I had to learn that. So even when I was in therapy, my therapist was like, I need to go back. But my therapist was like, you know, what are your ways of self-care? And I was like, oh, doing this, like the frilly stuff. And she's like, you know, that's really not always self-care. Sometimes it's maybe doing a puzzle and maybe it's sleeping in. And so I've really been embracing. So when I say the loyalty to myself and being intentional, I am being intentional about how I care for this body.
That's important. Because
you only get one. So,
you only get one. We ain't no cat.
Right. They know eight more.
Or they get nine lives, not nine bodies. But y'all know what the hell I'm saying.
Yeah. But that's one thing that I'm learning too. But to kind of circle back to the whole working thing, I will not put myself in a position to where I am going to be stressed.
Yeah.
Where the chaos in my mind is caused by someplace that I'm working or interacting with somebody. I'm just not going to do it.
I'm not going to do it.
Means that, then I'm out.
And I said expectation now that I'm older and like a lot of shit also just come with experience and becoming more confident in yourself and your voice. Because now in my new job, like my job cool, but I let them know at the beginning, I don't necessarily do group lunches. I want my lunch time to be my time. I'm going to spend my 45 minutes to an hour outside the building. I might be sitting in my car. I don't know. I'll be back. We don't all got to go down to the goddamn Chick-fil-A together and piss them people off 30 deep. That's not necessary. I won't be doing that. Okay? That's for one. Two, I'm going to get here as close to on time as possible because, you know, I work for the man now, so timeliness is important. I'm going to get here, but just know when I'm here, I'm going to do the work.
Yeah.
But when it's time to go, I'm up out of here. Leaving. Unless it's something that cannot wait, I'm leaving. Just because I was 10 minutes late don't mean I'm staying 10 minutes later. Unfortunately, we're not punching the clock. This is a salary-paying job. I'll be here tomorrow.
That's the thing, too, is setting those expectations for those around you.
And people respect it. When you set the expectations and really lay out how people should handle you and when you're talking about loyalty and in general, this all can apply to things outside the employer, you know, we're talking about work, but relationships, friendships, anything. Yeah. When you set the standard of how people should treat and handle you, people can't act like they don't know.
Right.
They can't try and pull that bullshit like, well, this isn't no.
Well,
I've been like this from the jump. And I told you clearly, and you had an opportunity at the beginning when I said what I said to say what you wanted to say, and you ain't say a goddamn thing.
So guess what, damn it.
So I'm not going to motherfucking Taco Macho for lunch with y'all. For some guacamole. No.
But you also know, I think that also too, for me, when I think about that, like having these group lunches and all that, that is tied to this sense, going back to my point of perception and how you want people to perceive you. Like, I don't want people to think that I'm a mean person. You can think whatever you want. I'm not spending that much time with y'all. I am here to do a job. I am not here to gain friends. I'm here to be.
Part of my job description is not to like y'all or for y'all to like me.
No.
Me being up under y'all shouldn't have nothing to do with whether you like me or not. That shouldn't make you dislike me. That's just setting boundaries, which I'm sure eventually in this podcast we can go on a whole extra hour, 2 hours on boundaries.
Boundaries.
But ultimately, loyalty comes down to what those boundaries are, who you're willing to set those boundaries with, how strict you're going to set them. But I feel good, though. I really just wanted to have a reason to say I quit my job. This is the first time I ever quit a job. I was so excited to tell them, like, I won't be returning. They wasn't surprised. They really told me to go to hell. It was cool. They was like, bitch, you've been gone for 5 weeks. We know.
I quit my job, and then they told me to leave early. So I was like, thank you very much. God bless.
They said, we've been waiting. Damn. I went on a leave of absence for mental health. Then none of them bitches check on me.
But that's the thing. Really, like, they don't.
What if I was really losing my mind? Y'all don't give a hot damn. They said, no, it's not coming back.
They want to know, can you come back and finish doing the job?
That's they knew it. I was coming back. They said, listen, we lost her.
But that FMLA, I'm going to tell people right now, that's a little tidbit for you. If you work in a corporate job and you need a little break, you want to still get paid.
You use that FMLA up. They really can't tell you nothing. And because we all talking about mental health. Do what you got to do. I started therapy too, sis. I got my next session tomorrow.
I need to email my therapist.
I be in there talking to my doctor.
Yes. Listen, I don't care what nobody say. And don't think that therapy, let me just leave this note. Therapy is not a fix all. Like, you got to do the work when you go to therapy.
Correct.
Like, you have to hold yourself accountable. You gotta do some work.
I'm excited.
I'm very happy for you, sis.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really gonna stick it out. You know, this is uninsured, so this is coming out of pocket. So she better fix something.
Hey,
I'm
just ask her for a sliding scale.
I'm already on that. You better believe her. I said, slap me in, sis. Oh, you know, I went to therapy for black girls, so I could say, slap me in, sis.
Yeah. I definitely need a black therapist. I can't talk.
We'll have to do a therapy, you know, a therapy talk session.
Yeah, that's a good one.
At some point, too.
Maybe we should bring on a therapist. We should bring on a therapist. Yeah,
well, you know, I'm very new to this. I don't know no therapist. Oh, okay. That's going to have to be on the good side. That's on your.
Okay, that's on my side.
That's on your warehouse. I'm brand new to this. I don't know a lot of therapy. My friends ain't shit. I'm going to tell you right now. I got friends who are doctors and lawyers, but not that kind. We still ain't shit.
I know a few. We'll talk to them.
Ain't shit. Okay, I love that. Well, that wraps up the topic. I don't know. I'm going to call it something else. Y'all, okay, we'll figure it out. I'm going to figure it out. But now let's wrap it up. Well, it's not really going to be wrapped up. These episodes going to be as long as they're going to be. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
But sis, tell me something that's good. Let's get into the good and ghetto.
Let me tell you something that's good. What's good?
What's good?
I said this earlier, but I will, you know, go a little in depth. What's good is that I am getting very comfortable in being a creative. I am getting very comfortable in learning to create and not being ashamed of that.
Yeah.
And not thinking that it's a bad thing. So that's what's good.
Okay.
Let's see.
Okay.
What's ghetto? What's ghetto is trying to lose weight once you're 40.
Yeah.
It's very ghetto because I feel like I have to like really, really.
That should
really
be sticking to you, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it'd
that
be
should
like,
be sticking to you.
Looking it on. I'm trying to like, ugh. But yeah, that's ghetto.
Damn. I feel that.
What about you, sis? What's good?
Something that's good for me. I went to the post office last week. The lady was very nice in there. And I feel like post office ladies don't have a good rep all the time.
Is this true?
Would just like to say the lady in the post office was very nice to me. I was not ready. You know, I'm one of the people, I'm in the line trying to put the box together, trying to write on the tag. I don't have anything together. She told me, just step to the side. We'll call you. Like, she was real nice. She had real long ghetto nails. I really appreciated that in her. and she was very, very nice. I love you, lady. And I've never really had a bad experience at the post office. Now, I don't frequent the post office, but I ain't never really had a bad experience at the post office. What's also good is I've been juicing. I added that on my good, and that's to motivate you to knock the dust and take your juicer out the whip.
Okay, I'll try.
Okay, what's ghetto, like we was talking about earlier, here's what's ghetto to me would be pissing me off. We can't eat anything. We cannot eat. Everything is fucked up. Everything is toxic. I'd be in the grocery store for 2 hours and 37 minutes trying to pick up almond milk. Trying to pick the almond milk that ain't got the shit in it that be fucking you up and got cancer.
But that's why you got to start making your stuff.
I'm just about to go back to eating the animals at this point. Cause what
give
the
me
fuck?
The cow.
It's even the plant. I'll be trying to be on the plant base and they like it got the shakshimati chicken taco. What the fuck is that? And why would y'all put it in there if it ain't good for me? Y'all know I'm coming to what pisses me off is when the healthy shit be just as fucked up. Why would y'all put that in there knowing that I'm coming here for a healthy alternative? So y'all think I'm an idiot? Like, I can't read?
It's terrible.
That shit pissed me off. It's a new documentary called Poison.
I'm not watching
Poison or something. I'm not watching it.
I'm not watching
I would never eat again. I'll starve myself. I'll be in here sucking up air. Oh, wait, can't do that because fucking pollution. Be in here motherfucking splitting atoms. It pisses me off. I can't eat anything. Every time I learn something new, they like, oh, maybe you could just, you know, make the oats and you could just grow the motherfucking wheat in your backyard. Fuck yeah, I live in a goddamn apartment on the second floor. I can't do no hydroponics on the balcony. I need to go to the grocery store and get some shit that ain't gonna kill
me. That's the issue. Like, it's just like, you really can't eat anything.
I need to be able to go to the grocery store and not poison myself. And it pisses me off. And then on top of that, now I'm spending $134 on 6 apples and a motherfucking mozzarella stick.
I'm telling you, I want to meet the people that are pricing the grocery items, because clearly y'all trying to get it back in blood.
It's y'all very trying ghetto. To get
2020 back in blood. And we didn't do it.
It's very ghetto. It's some things, you know, when the gas go up, you be like, all right, the gas go up. You know what I'm saying? When the popcorn at the movie theater go up 75 cents, you're like, that shit was $17 already. It's my fault. But when the bread go from $3 to $7 a loaf, I want to fight.
I want to fight somebody. We went and got cookies. I forgot the name of this cough cookies. They used to be like $3.
That's them airplane cookies.
Yes, they're $6. Nigga, $6?
It makes me so mad. It makes me so mad. So that's very ghetto to me. That's very, very, very ghetto to me. Also, like, I got to stop going down rabbit holes, because then I be finding out too much information. Like, I was on TikTok the other day, and I went down this rabbit hole talking about breakfast. Breakfast isn't real. We were just talking about how breakfast is the favorite meal of the day. They're like, breakfast started as, like, capitalism propaganda.
I saw that.
In order to, because the meat industry, the meat market sales was down. So now these motherfuckers then invented breakfast to sell more goddamn bacon and turkey patties.
Here's what I realized.
Is that
if you want to live a life that you enjoy, we got to stay our ass off social media.
You got to be an idiot. That's just blissful ignorance.
Like, just... don't pay attention to
it's
shit.
Very ghetto. My ghetto is all about, I like to eat food, and I like good food, and I like healthy food. Like, I have the taste buds of a lawnmower, and I eat like a homeless rabbit. I like celery and kale and carrots. Like, that is what I enjoy. And now y'all telling me that the goddamn spinach in the bag got goddamn syphilis in it? I don't know. Pissing me off. Honestly, I'm stressed. Somebody said
they were like, broccoli is not real and spinach is not real. And I was like, hey.
Talking about, have you ever seen a broccoli in a while? Have you ever seen a motherfucking antelope in a while? That don't mean it ain't real. You ain't been everywhere. You ain't been every region of the world.
I'm still putting spinach and I'm still putting kale in my smoothie.
I don't care. I don't care if it's not naturally.
I do not care what y'all say. I'm not eating no red dye, though. I'm not eating no Flamin' Hots. That's where I draw the line. But now we know. That's that ghetto shit. That is that ghetto shit. I can't do it.
I tasted one.
And I haven't eaten it in like 10
years. The smart food. So you know the smart food popcorn, the white cheddar that come in the black bag?
That's some ghetto shit.
They got a Flamin' Hot flavor in IBU.
No. I refuse to eat anything that has a red dye in it. Red dye 40? No.
I know. That ain't shit. I'm definitely going to hell for eating that. But I be trying to supplement it with the motherfucking vegetables that also apparently
you don't supplement it by eating a whole bag of smart popcorn and eating half of a green pepper.
Your PhD and you know everything, I'm trying my best.
You're talking about me juicing, but you also eating smart popcorn Flamin' Hot.
Fucking that popcorn. I'm the whole bag. No. Now, you won't see me pick up a piece of cake. I don't do no sweets, but a potato chip and a Flamin' Hot something or another.
No, see, I'll tear up a pound cake. A pound cake?
I don't be needing all them sweets and shit.
I don't either, but I only eat like a pound cake and like a vegan ice cream bar. But that's
I like a little cheesecake. I do like a little cheesecake every now and then. That's what been pissing me off lately. I don't know. I might watch that documentary, but I know. But then again, it's like once when they start making documentaries about shit, I'll be like, but really, what's the agenda? Because then why is it on Netflix? Because Netflix demands. So really, this is probably some bullshit anyway, because it's probably sponsored by the motherfucking oat milk brand, because now y'all just probably trying to get me to buy the motherfucking oat milk that ain't worth a goddamn.
That's why I say don't even go watch Golden Girls. Go watch Living Single. Like, don't do it.
What we need to do is watch Girlfriends, The Parkers, 101, and all that shit, because they're taking it off Netflix.
Are they?
They're taking it off Netflix. I think the contract ended for all those shows, like, be on Netflix. And I think by the end of this year, end of 2023, I think they're going to be done. So I think I need to watch Girlfriends for the fifth time.
But I think they need to, like, have a place where we can watch these shows.
They say it's on Tubi or Peacock or one, Peacock. You know, whatever the shit, the Freeform, whatever the ghetto shit be on.
Yeah, I'm not watching Tubi. I'm just not.
Yeah, I think they said they all on that one. Where the bullshit be at. Nothing.
Well, sis, this has been great. This is our second episode, and I'm so excited.
Woo! Oh, wait, until next time.
What's until next time? What are we talking about?
What are we going to accomplish until we meet again?
Sorry, guys. I'm still new to this. Until next time, I'm going to pull out my juicer.
Yes, we're going round two for the juicer. I believe in you.
Going round two. And also, I'm going to get my ass back to reading.
I believe in you in that too. Again, these books are just for decoration. I don't be doing that.
What's your until next time?
Until next time, I am going to sleep more. Ooh. My sleep schedule has been not good, and I've been averaging like 4 or 5 hours a night, which is not good because I'm too cute to have bags under my eyes. I'm sexy as hell, and I ain't got time to be having the bagianas. So until next time, I'm going to work on getting to bed at a reasonable time because I'll be up early for that gym, and I'll be playing with myself staying up late.
Listen, you got to go to bed at like 9.
No, that's great, but it's just be like, I don't be getting home to the trap, whatever. Fuck everybody. Sorry, I'm just kidding. I don't want to end on that note. I love y'all so much. Thank y'all. This has been another episode of Good and Ghetto the Pod.
Good and Ghetto follow the us, Pod.
Follow us on... Damn, where to follow? Okay, follow us on YouTube. We got a YouTube. It ain't much on there right now, but still subscribe so that when we do, you got it. That's at Good and Ghetto the Pod. And then Instagram is hating on us. They're not letting us make one. Yeah. But y'all definitely can subscribe to our Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Music. I don't know why the cover art isn't updated. I'm working on it. Okay. There is no team.
We're good and ghetto, okay? Listen, just.
And Apple, if y'all don't fix it.
Fix it now.
I'm calling the NAACP. It's giving Alabama Riverboat. Apple, it's up. With y'all.
Throw that hat up. Send a signal.
They say he threw the hat up like Bobby Shmurda. I love you so much, sis.
I love you too. We out.
Bye.
Bye.